In this evening, let us continue to talk about and fellowship concerning the matter of Christ being our physician.
Amen.
I think John did a good job to explain to us and to convince us, hopefully, that we're all sick. It's very important, actually, for us to see, because if we don't see that something is not right within us, we will definitely not go see a doctor, right? So it is very important to realize our true inward condition. If not, it is not good for us. Definitely not good for us. And the book of Isaiah is with God as the practical book, because right in the first chapter, God as the physician did not waste any time. We waste a lot of time. If you go see a doctor, how are you? It's good. How's the weather? Wonderful. Yeah, and this and that. And so then what's wrong with you? You know, but God did not waste any time. Let us turn to Isaiah chapter 1 again. Immediately, he said, "Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth." That means the word of God is not just for them. He wants the whole universe to hear this. Today, the doctors like to keep what? Confidentiality, right? Would you like to let people know your problem? No. We all like to hide our problem, right? Oh, don't tell anybody. Isn't it true?
Yes.
Right? I don't know about you. Maybe not. But you know, God is not going to hide it. The whole Bible shows God exposes the whole problem of his people. God exposed the fall of Adam in a very clear way. Right? And we like to hide it. We have a lot of secrets. But let me tell you, it's not good to hide your sickness. You better tell the doctor everything. He knows everything anyway. Right? Did not the word Hebrews, especially chapter 4, says the word of God is what? Living, operative, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierced through. And exposes the thoughts and intents of your heart. You know, let me ask you, if you read a word, what is the reaction? What happens if you read a Bible? Do you feel something cut into your heart? No, come on. Really? Oh, you scratch your head. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. And these, oh yeah, okay, these I already know. And I read, I'm tired. I close it. And you go to bed. When you're watching TV, you're never tired. But when you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden, your eyelids become eyelid, heavy like lead. You can open your eyes, right? Yeah. You know why? Something is not right. We're sick. We're sick. If you're listening to the messages or what, It seems like you don't hear anything. But if somebody is telling you about a gossip or some news about Moses, you know what Moses did? No, I'm not going to tell you. No, come on. Come on. Tell me. Well, what is that? This is sickness. But when you are listening to the Word of God, it seems you have a hard time taking it. No wonder at the very end in the Bible it says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches." So you can really see our sick condition is actually everywhere, except we are conscious of our physical sicknesses. Right? My eyes, I need glasses. And if I don't see clearly anymore, I immediately come to our brother and says, "Hey, would you give me a checkup?" Right? Because I need to see. But little do we realize that we have another pair of eyes. The Bible called it the inner eyes. The eyes of our heart. Paul prayed in Ephesians, "May the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may see what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of this glory, the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Many times we just don't see, but we didn't realize we have a problem. Now let us read Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. We all know that, chapter 6. We all know in chapter 6 the Lord sent Isaiah, because can you imagine, the Lord says, "Whom shall I send?" Chapter 6, verse 8. Can you imagine God asking, "Whom shall I send?" Remember, God is not going to just send everybody, anybody who volunteered. No. It's not easy. And who will go for us? Two things that you have to realize. Number one, God is not going to force anybody. And number two, God is looking for qualified people. The very fact that God was asking, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" It means he couldn't find anyone. Don't think God will just send anyone. You know, a prophet is one who speaks for God, but not his own word. A prophet will never speak his own word. And you can realize this in 2 Peter chapter 1 at the very end. "No prophecy is of any private interpretation." Why? Because the prophecy, the word, the speaking of God, is spoken by men born by the Holy Spirit. It's not man's word. That's why today we take this book as the Word of God. Right? There are many teachers, but there are not many prophets. It's easy to be a teacher, to teach the Bible. Well, you know, just read and look at some reference book and you can teach the Bible. But to speak as a prophet, you need to know what God wants to talk about. what is in the heart of God. So the Bible, especially in the Holy Scriptures, it always says the burden of the word of the Lord. That word burden, it actually means oracle. The oracle of God, meaning to say it's God speaking, not man. And today, there's a lot of men speaking, but not God. So we speak a lot of words, but it's not what God wants to say to his people. So in Revelation, it was the Lord himself speaking to the churches. And then seven times it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And many times what the Spirit is speaking is not what you want to hear. And every time what man is speaking, they only speak what you like to hear. Otherwise, there's no more audience. They'll be running away. Do you want to hear a message saying you're sick? Oh, come on. You must be an exception. Huh? Do you want to hear a verse saying that your heart is wicked above all other things and incurably sick? Do you want to hear a message that tells you a cow is better than you and a donkey is better than you? Yes, it is true, but you don't like to hear it. There's a lot of things that are true, but you don't like to hear it. Right. No wonder when the Lord Jesus himself, the Son of God, came to this world. Everybody should love to hear him, right? You would think so. But it ended up, what did they do to him? They crucified him. They crucified him. That's why no prophet in the Old Testament days are popular. Nobody likes them, especially those on the top, especially the kings, they don't like them. Isaiah, at the very end, is cut into pieces. That's how he died. You like to be cut into pieces? No, so you should speak something that people like to hear. Tickle the ears. My goodness, you'll be popular. But Isaiah spoke the truth. Right. And not everybody likes to listen to the truth. Now let's continue to read here. Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, God said, verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9, go, tell these people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull. Goodness. When you talk to people, don't you like them to be clear? Oh, yeah, of course. Right? Of course. That's the point of talking to people. Why did the Lord say, make the heart of this people dull, you tell me? I thought the point of preaching is to make the heart of this people clear. Why? Because God knew their heart is already hardened like a rock. Tell me, do you have a soft heart or a rock-hard heart? Right. And their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and be healed. Do you want to be sent to this kind of people? You know, Isaiah says, oh, okay, I am here, send me, but I doubt if the Lord tells him first what kind of a people he's going to send him. Isaiah will not raise his hand. Do you think you will? What do you expect today when you speak the truth to people? Nobody likes to hear it. They get offended even. They argue with you. So, you still like to preach the gospel? Share the Lord with them? But this is the kind of people, and these are not the unbelievers, the Gentiles, but these are God's people who became sick. Yeah. You know, sometimes it is easier to talk to people who has no religious background. It is much easier. Because they have no concept and they easily receive the world. But if you have been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, you think you know everything and somebody talks to you about the Lord. No, forget it. I don't like to hear it. Yeah. It'll be very difficult. And this is exactly what happened when the Lord came. The chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, they could not take in the word of God. They couldn't. It says, "Lest now the Lord use their heart and turn and be healed." Now the Lord used this word, healed. And not just save, but actually salvation is not just to save you from God's condemnation and to save you from eternal damnation. Of course, that is also true and important. I'm not saying that it's not important. But salvation more so is to heal you. So the healing of the Lord has two aspects. Firstly, what he did on a cross. Objectively, he died for us. He bore our sins upon himself. And he bore God's judgment. So through his death on the cross, Romans chapter 5 says, you are reconciled to God. You have peace now with God. But is that enough for you? If you continue to read Isaiah chapter 5, verse 10, it says, much more, there is a much more, you shall be saved. We were reconciled to God in the past tense, but you shall be saved. That means there is more to come. You shall be saved by his life. Not by what the Lord Jesus had done on the cross for you, objectively, but no, by his life coming into you as a medicine for the healing. Now the Lord is coming to you through the Holy Spirit to indwell you as the medicine. And this is the true healing that will change you. Just objectively, his death on the cross, yes, it saves you from judgment because he bore your judgment. And God must forgive your sins because Christ bore our sins upon himself. It will be unrighteous for God not to forgive you because Christ already paid the ransom. He paid a price with his own life. And he shed his precious blood. You redeem. You are bought back. This is fine. This is wonderful. I'm not looking down on that. But there is much more. Now he lives in you. To be your life. To be everything to you. To be your healing, to be medicine for you. And this is important for us to see today. Of course, it's good to know that we're sick, but it is much better to know how to be healed. The healing is very, very important. If you just appreciate the forgiveness, and you just appreciate the cleansing, which is good, but year after year, you don't see any change in your life. You do it again and again and again. You keep on losing your temper. You keep on arguing. You keep on continuing to sin. And you imagine, I don't know what in your mind. And your heart is hardened and you're disobedient to the Lord. The Lord says no. You say, yes, I want to do this. And you're always in contradiction. And yet then you say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Okay, forgiveness is always there. But the point is, have you changed? Are you being conformed to the glorious image of Christ? Are you being transformed? This is the whole point. And if there's no change and there's no transformation that took place, that means there's no healing. Yeah. And so here you can really see that the healing part is very important. That's why many Christians, after being a Christian for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, there's no change. You don't see any change. Actually, if we are being healed, there should be a change. You feel healthy. You feel strong. You can overcome. Right? You have the life, the vitality. You have the vitality, the energy, spiritually speaking now. To be empowered, renewed. That's what Paul says, although our outer man is being consumed because we're getting older physically, of course. You know, I can feel it. I'm not as energetic as I was about 20, 30, 40 years ago. I'm a grandpa. But it's okay. Normal. But then Paul says, but our inner man is constantly being renewed. And he says, from day to day. You should notice a change in your life. You should notice the spiritual strength and power within you to strengthen the inner man. Should be even sharper. Your mind, your ability to grasp heavenly things should be even sharper. Your mind should be renewed. Right? These are the signs of the proper healing of this life. But if there's no change, that is not good. There is a degradation going down. That's why in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 you can really notice, and the Lord spoke very strongly, just like in Isaiah, to the churches. Yeah. You left your first love. There's a big rebuke there. Right? Or, hey, you move to the place where Satan's throne is. The world crept in. Repent, if not, I will come and make war with you. Can you imagine the Lord makes war? I have something against you. You tolerate, even harbor some secrets of Satan. To Thyatira, he said. And you even harbor some secrets of Satan. Deep things of Satan. Can you imagine the deep things of Satan was hidden within the church in Thyatira. Then the Lord says, if you don't repent, I'm going to cast you on the sick bed. All your life you'll be sick there, lying down in a sick bed. You like to be a church lying in a sick bed, confined in a hospital. I don't know what kind of a hospital will take you. But hey, the Lord says, I'll put you in a sick bed. And the Lord told Sardis, you have a name that you are alive. You're alive, you live, but you're dead. And I have found nothing perfect what you have done. Not up to the standard. The standard disappeared. Not yet. A few names. But you only have a few, just a few names that are worthy, but the rest are not worthy. Only a few. And then he warns them, you repent, otherwise I will blot your name out of the book of life. Serious thing. And then he warned the church in Philadelphia, although it's a very good church. What was the warning there? Hold fast what you have. Why? Why hold fast? Because there's a danger of you losing it. This year you may be wonderful spiritually, but you cannot keep it up. You know, in the spiritual life, if you do not grow and you do not go on with the Lord, go up higher and higher, you will recede, you will degenerate. Just like a tree. If it stops growing, it's going to rot. Because the church must be something living. And then to Laodicea, what did he say? Isn't it good? You don't like to eat things that are too hot, right? Or too cold, right? Don't you? You like something lukewarm, naturally. That means you have a different taste than the Lord. You have different taste. So what does the Lord say? I will vomit you out of my mouth. It's not so simple. Not so simple. The Lord's word was very serious, but nobody likes to talk about that. Don't think the Lord is going to hide your sick condition. What is a doctor good for if you come to him and says, gee, I cannot breathe anymore? The Lord says, oh, okay, I feel sorry for you, but you know, it's okay, just go home. You're all right. You like to hear that? Or would you prefer to hear from the doctor you have pneumonia? Don't go to a wrong doctor, I tell you. It's dangerous. A friend of ours, whose brother is just 31 years old, had difficult breathing and coughing a little bit, and had. So he went to see the doctor. The doctor looked at him and says, go home. You have nothing wrong with you. Just take some flu medication. Go home. Go home. 4 weeks later, he passed away. So you better go see a proper doctor. Learn to let the Lord shine upon you. Through the Spirit, inwardly, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Anointing. Right? And then through His Word. the word of the Lord is very crucial. And let his light shine into you. Because the Lord is the only one who searches the hidden part of your heart. Otherwise, it's not possible. And if you do not go for the healing and go to him as your physician, don't just ask for forgiveness. It's good if you do. But it's not enough. You should tell the Lord, Lord, heal me. That is why you have two different offerings at the very end. They're all together five. One is called the sin offering. And the other one is called the trespass offering. Can you tell the difference? Outwardly, you may not be able to tell the difference. A lot of people couldn't tell the difference. Because the description is about the same if you read Leviticus chapter 4 and 5 and half of chapter 6. So many people ask, what is the difference? Why are the two almost very similar offerings? Well, let me tell you. Very simple. One is dealing with the root of sin. It's called sin offering. To liberate you, to set you free from the dominion and the slavery of sin and death. It's for the healing. It's like root canal there, treatment of your tooth. The other one is called trespass offering. You know what a trespass is? What is a trespass? Huh? Only? Ah, a trespass is not only a mistake. It is when you did something against the law, when you break the law. You committed a sin. So it is an outward expression of this sin, what you have done. But suppose you have not done any trespasses. Are you okay? Why not? Because the root of sin dwells in you, and this is in Romans chapter 7. Sin dwells in me. So we always tell people, you are a sinner, not because you committed many sins, but because first of all, sin entered and dwells in you. You have that very nature of serpent. The serpentine nature dwells in you to make you sick. Right. So we need a sin offering from the Lord. There are many things that we should really touch and talk about. So, our heart is incurably sick. I think it's good to read it again in Jeremiah chapter 17. Let us read. Verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. You believe that? You really believe the doctor's word? He's not even just a doctor, he is a creator. And he knew our heart. Deceitful above all things, the heart. Whose heart? The heart. You should say, my heart. My heart. You like to say that? Have you ever said, Lord, my heart is deceitful above all things? No? And who does it deceive in the first place? You. Exactly. The very fact you think you're all right, you're already deceived by your heart. He lies to you, and you are lying to yourself. That's why a lot of people can really say, the older you are, the more you realize your trouble, the more you discover yourself. Right. Once upon a time, about 7-8 years ago, when I was in the Far East, I met an older brother. He was close to his 90 or 80 some years old, close to 90 at that time. And he invited me to see him. You know what he told me, and I never forgot what he said. He said, "Johnny, my age, every day I've been repenting before the Lord for the things that I've done in the past which I did not realize. I begin now to realize there are so many things that are not in order. The wrong things that I did, which I thought was right." The time is that you're going to meet the Lord. The more you begin to realize a lot of things. So I told the Lord, "Lord, I want to know them now and not wait until I'm so close to the time." And I want to be healed. I want to be healed. Heal me now. Yeah. Make me spiritually healthy. Amen. And it says here, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There is a note, it says, incurably sick. No wonder in Jeremiah, in the book, the Lord promised, "And I will take away the stony heart away from you and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put my spirit into you." How many times have you asked this cardiologist, the heavenly cardiologist, "Lord, search me"? I appreciate that Psalm 139 that says, "Search me, O God, and see if there is still any wicked ways that are within me." Because I myself doesn't know. I don't know. You know, if your arteries is blocked, you don't feel it. You don't know. Unless you go for a checkup. Because you don't feel anything, you feel you're okay. I told you the story of a brother who told me the story himself. He's an older brother who took another older brother to see a cardiologist. And that cardiologist happened to be a colleague of his son in school. Older brother. So when he drove that older brother to the cardiologist, they got a checkup. The cardiologist says, "Oh, you're okay. Go home. No problem with you." And then because the other brother who brought him there was the father of a good friend, "Hey, since you're here, let me check you up too, for free. I'll check you up." And after checking, he says, "You cannot go home right away. You better stay and have your situation taken care of. Otherwise, you can go anytime." You may think other people are not right, sick, but you don't realize you're sick. The chief priests, the elders, Pharisees, scribes, and all these people, you think they know they're sick. The Lord already told them. But they don't believe it. Not only they didn't believe, they got mad. So this is a problem. Our heart, according to the Creator, and according to this wonderful cardiologist, and he searches our heart. He has a X-ray vision. He knows your heart. And he says, "Oh Lord." Yeah. What happened? Incurably sick. Right? I, the Lord, in verse 10, search the heart. I test the mind. Oh, do you know what I'm thinking right now? No, neither do I know what you're thinking. I don't know your mind. I cannot read mine. All those people who say they can read mine, it's just a trick. You cannot read my mind, neither can I read yours. But I tell you, the psalmist says, whatever you're thinking, even miles away, the Lord already knows what you're thinking. Before you even spoke a word, he already knows what you're going to say. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he already knew what is in the heart of those people there. And when Peter was talking to the people outside, he already knew what he said. Don't think the Lord didn't know. The Lord knows everything that is in my heart. So it would be foolish not to open your heart to him and say, "Lord, search me." Because I cannot search myself. It's not possible. Oh Lord, and then even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. My goodness. But in verse 14, I love verse 14. Let's read it together. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." What kind of healing is he talking about? Physical healing? Headaches? Headaches? Muscle aches? Back aches? What? Toothache? Physical healing? Definitely not. Because you already talk about the heart. Oh, what kind of a heart? Is this heart that pumps? No, we all have two hearts. One physical heart, and the other one is an invisible heart hidden somewhere. No doctors on this earth could find a second heart. Only the heavenly doctor can know what is going on in your heart. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." That means the real final saving and salvation is what? Is the healing. The healing. No wonder Hebrews says, he is able to save to the uttermost. Completely. Right? This morning I didn't get to finish what I was going to say concerning God being righteous, God being holy, and God being glorious. And Paul in the book of Romans says, all have sinned and fall short of the healing. What did he say? Fall short of the glory of God. Exactly what you said. you fall short of his standard. And God's standard is glorious. Glory and holy. That's why it says, be holy because I am holy. This is a divine nature. And where are you going to get the element of holiness? Where? From? From him. How? Of course, I know it's from him. But how? Huh? Good question. We're joking with you. Otherwise, the message is too serious. Number one, by the Holy Spirit coming into us to sanctify us. And number two, by his chastisement. Whom I love, I chastise. I discipline. Don't think God loves you, he will not discipline you. So if you really love your child, what do? Let him do what he wants. No? Oh, come on, you don't love your child. Do you love your child? No, come on. So what do if you love your child? You let him do what he wants. You sure? You chastise your child. You discipline him. Now, how many times have you been chastised by the Heavenly Father? Or he just lets you do whatever you want? If our Heavenly Father let us do whatever we want, Hebrews 12 says, then you're a bastard, not a child, not a son. So that we can partake of his holiness. And between righteousness and holiness, glory, there's the holiness. So you go from righteousness to holiness to glory. Right. But unfortunately, the verdict is our own righteousness, like we heard this morning from Isaiah, is a what? Filthy rags. Not only rags, rags is just poor, holy, not H-O-L-Y, but H-O-L-E-Y. You're holy. I don't know why people like to cut holes in their pants here. It's not very holy, but very holy, H-O-L-E-Y. Maybe it's for air conditioning, or I don't know what. Too hot in California. But it's not just holy, H-O-L-E-Y, it's filthy. That's the description in the Word of God. And he's talking about being self-righteous. So, this is the very reason why the Lord has to become a man. I appreciate you reading those verses today. You would think that God could just do something as God in the heavens, right? Do some concoction for medication and then send it down with Angel Gabriel to give everyone a portion, a pill. You take it in, oh, wow, you're saved. That would be wonderful, right? That's the pharmaceutical company today. Yeah. But it doesn't work. It has plenty of side effect. It heals one sickness and gives you 10 others. Side effects. A lot of side effects. Right. So, God's way is to send his son to become a man. To be just like you and me. And then he went through all kinds of sufferings to develop this medication that you and I need as a man. We don't appreciate that. He lived a humanity that is perfect. Right? His humanity is perfect. He went through all kinds of temptation, and yet without sin, he came in victorious. He overcame Satan, the very source of sin. He was tempted in every way like us, and yet he was victorious. That is a good medication. Yes. Yeah, well, then you and I can take medication. Then he went through all kinds of sufferings. I don't think you and I can take sufferings. If somebody just criticizes you, you'll be mad. You'll be angry. Yeah. Right? If your boss says, I don't like your work. You say, I quit. That would be your reaction. I mean, this is our fallen, sick nature. I cannot. If my wife just tells me something I don't like to hear, oh my goodness, a volcanic explosion comes out of my eyes, my ears, my nose, and finally out of my lips. A big bang. What is that? Sick. We don't realize that is sickness. All this thing in the heart just came out. But look at the Lord. He was led to the slaughter. And on his way, he said a lot of things. I shouldn't have come to this earth. I made a mistake. These people are not worth saving. I've done so much for them and they don't appreciate it. Forget it. Throw away the cross and go back to heaven. How about that? I would have done that, you know. I think you too. But the Lord didn't. Before Pontius Pilate, he did not justify himself. And 2 Peter tells us, or 1 Peter tells us, he didn't justify himself because he trusts on the one who judges righteously. But we don't trust him. If somebody say something that's not good about me, boy, I tell you, you're in trouble. I'm going to sue you. This is what we are. We cannot keep our mouths shut and not to justify ourselves. Because why? Because you're sick. We are sick. We like to justify ourselves. Even if we are wrong, we still want to justify ourselves. Right? Not to say we are right. Oh my goodness, if we are right, it's even worse. Right? Am I right? Oh yeah, boy, whatever things happen immediately, we defend ourselves. No, that's not true. That's not true. No, I didn't. Wow, my goodness. You know what that shows? That shows we are sick. Incurably sick. So many sickness. That's why the Lord has to come. And went through every sickness that is in you, in me, in fallen mankind. Amen. We're proud, but he is humble. He's God and he lowered himself. We are a low human being. We want to elevate ourselves. We are just the opposite. He was absolutely holy as God. And yet he was unrighteously mistreated and he didn't say a word. So such a wonderful man, this wonderful Jesus, when he was on this earth, why did he have to go through all this? You tell me why. Because he is putting together a universal medication to heal us. Amen. For the healing. And that healing is called the anointing in Exodus chapter 30. That is the Spirit that he poured out with his incarnation as a man, all of his righteous, victorious human living. The element is added into the oil. And then his crucifixion. The Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. The antidote is there. And then his resurrection to swallow up death. Death, where is your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That element is in that concoction called the anointing oil. And then his ascension, sitting on the throne, far above all principalities and powers. All of these were added into the Spirit of God. And then he poured out that Spirit to indwell us. What for? You should ask what for? To be your life, the medication, the healing life to make us healthy. But then you need to apply it because he's not going to force you. It will open your eyes. It will renew your mind. Remember what Paul says. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It will enlighten your inner eyes. It will open your ears to hear. It will make your obedience. The obedience of Christ is in it. It will help you to overcome. It will set you free from the law of sin and death. That is why Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. Not just forgiveness, but set free. You're forgiven, but you're not free. This is the healing. No wonder we are learning to apply the feast, the seven feasts in the scriptures. The feast of the Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread, the feast of the first fruits, Christ in resurrection, the firstborn from among the dead. The first one who overcame death. Nobody else could do that. And he held the keys of Hades and of death. He's victorious. And he ascended to the throne. Praise the Lord. And all these today are the feasts at the Lord's table for us to enjoy. And the result of such a real enjoyment and a real experience and a real application in our daily life will produce the offerings that we can bring for the satisfaction of the Father. Otherwise, what are you going to bring? Empty words? Just praises? What kind of praise? The Lord says, these people praise me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Are we like this? We need healing. That's why it should just not be a message about this as a topic. No, we need to see the real true condition of our life. Right. And the earlier we have all this healing performed by the Lord, all the therapy and all the medication, and all the action done by the Spirit within us to change us, to save us, to transform us, the better off it is. The older you are, the harder it is. Yeah. Younger we are, and you learn to really take Christ as the medication. No wonder the Lord says, he who eats me, not just believe in me. Believe is easy. But he who eats me, even he shall live by me. The eating. All the medication, you have to take it. Right? If you don't take it, you just look at it. You hold a capsule and says, I believe in you. I believe. You hold the medicine there in a bottle and says, I believe. It's not going to heal you. Take it in. And let it work in you. No wonder Ezekiel and John in the book of Revelation says the word, when he eats it, it's sweet as honey in the mouth, but it is bitter when it gets into the stomach. Because it's medicine, it works. So, may the Lord heal all of us. Amen. Don't just take this and then, okay, now I know. No, you deal with the Lord. Come to him as a doctor. And tell the Lord to heal you. He will do. He will heal you. Right? And we all need this. So tonight, we don't need to repeat it so much. But I hope that it'll be a deep impression inscribed in your heart. Experience this day by day. Yeah. And we will become a healthy church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.